either individually or as a congregation. So I thought I'd cover the issue of discouragement. We have a lot of examples in the Scripture of the importance of not getting discouraged. In other words, to have courage. To discourage, we lack courage, but we want to have courage. And where's that? What's the focus of that courage? Let's take a look in Numbers, the 13th chapter, as we start there today. That is the mystery of the ages, that light. I mean that light. All right, Numbers 13. We have the example of God's people. Even though they're very carnal, they still were God's people. And what happened to them when they lost courage? And we'll see here, for God's people, courage and faith are interchangeable. And I think we're all, though, that we wish we had that perfect faith and we're always courageous. And yet, we're not all the time. Sometimes we just get overwhelmed by things. But we want to focus today on keeping our courage, keeping our faith. Have courage in what? Not ourselves, but in God. Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel, from each tribe of their fathers, and you shall send a man," so one for each tribe, "everyone a leader from among them." And then, so Moses sent from, or verse 3, from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them, men whose heads are the children of Israel. Then go on down here to verse 16. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up this way into the south, and go into the mountains." If you look at a map, you see start from the south, work way into the mountains. And get up. And why go to the mountains? To get up and see what's out distance from you. And see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like the camps or strongholds. Are they sort of just tented cities, small little cities, or are they older, more established cities? Whether the land is rich or poor, or whether there are forests or not. Now, be of good courage. Be of good courage. And bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time of this season was the first ripe grapes. So the time of the year, the first ripe grapes were coming in. They were to be of good courage. And it was very difficult for them as they would go over. You know the story, but we're going to move now to verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So they've been there for 40 days looking things over. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. So this is in the southern area of Kadesh Barnea and other places like that. They brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And it was so big it took two men holding a limb of grapes. That's big. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey." So in other words, it's got wonderful agriculture. "And this is its fruit." They brought that. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and all these different people in the various areas, they all dwell there. They're all powerful." Now, they've been told to have courage, but they saw the difficulty that was before them. In Caleb, verse 26, "Then Caleb quieted the people." Now, see, the leadership was getting scared. They were getting nervous because these represented leaders of each tribe. And even though they didn't have the internet in those days, still, word gets around fast, as you'll see. Word gets around fast. And they were very negative about this whole experience. 40 years God had provided for them. They knew the stories of what had gone in Egypt. And now here we go with this new experience. Where were we here? Verse 31. Verse 30. "Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it.'" He could see the fear was taking over the people, the leadership. He says, "Let's act now and not ruminate over this thing. God's made promises to us. We've been told to be of good courage. It's time to act. Let's act. But the men, verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. And that was true. They were stronger than they were. And yet they lost their faith. They were discouraged. They'd lost their courage. They lost their faith. We're going to tie that in with our discussion here today. And they gave, verse 32, they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land. It's when yes, this way, but there's this wrong, there's this. And they lined out all the problems, which were problems. But they lost their faith, they lost their courage in the face of the problems. Okay, verse 32 again. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. See? Boy. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Well, I suppose not all of them are, but when you start making a story, you know how it gets. Ever gone fishing? Yeah. I caught a minnow and it was this big. See? Well, no. How big? Well, I got a nibble once and it was probably this big and whatever. A minnow. That was a really bad joke. Okay. But anyway, so if you're going to make a story up and you've got to say it's really bad, you've got to really, really give it all your best. And there were giants, and there were the descendants of Anak, and came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers. There were big guys there. They had found, I don't remember now, somewhere in the National Geographic, the latest one, they talked about they found some bones that they considered were giants, but somewhere, I don't remember now where, but they showed a regular, I think it was a femur bone of a regular sized man, and here was another about like this. It was a human, so somebody was really huge. I wish I'd remember that now. So, they had these problems. And there's only two men who are saying, let's go do it. Let's act upon what God says. But there were all these problems. Were there giants there? Yes. Were there bigger and strong cities? Yes. Did they have fortified cities? Yes. They had military strength? Yes. They had these problems. And yet, God says, be of good courage. When you go there, you're not just going to see beautiful land. You will. God knew what they were going to find if he wanted to test them. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. Then Moses went and spoke the words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. Wow. See? And I can no longer go out and come in. I'll bet. Also, the Lord said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. You know, his temper problem and how he didn't give God the glory when he struck the rock the second time for water. Said, he says, must I give you the water? That, you know the story. The Lord your God himself crossed over before you. See? The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. They actually came in, and the people would flee because they heard about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how he destroyed Egypt and so forth. And in many instances, the people would flee their standing cities, and Israel would come into them. So they didn't come into a decimated country. They came into standing cities. And that's one reason why I said, now, when you get into the cities, you're going to see their temples. Don't get into those things. Destroy those temples. Don't ask yourself, how do these people worship their gods? You know, here we got our temples already. No, he says, destroy them. Lord yourself will go before you, cross over before you, verse 3, and he will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, and their land, and others going to destroy them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and good courage. Be strong and of good courage. There's going to be difficulties when you cross over. Just don't want to be one picnic. But this thing again, be strong and of good courage in the face of difficulties. There's some people that, you know, who are heroes, if you want to call it that. I think it's a good word to say. Well, he's a hero. He or she's a hero. They say, well, how could you do that? Weren't you afraid? He says, being a hero doesn't mean you're not afraid. It means you are able to overcome that and still do what you need to do. I think if you're not afraid of it, it's combat or whatever, you're probably crazy. But the point is, you overcome your fear and you do whatever it is. And that's one illustration of being a hero. In the face of our problems, in the face of our personal or collective trials, we have to be of good courage that God will see us through, whatever it may be, if it's personal or if it's collective as a congregation, whatever. But what we do is we tend to lose courage. We tend to just say, well, you know, it's just overcoming. I just can't do this. And we'll see in just a few minutes as we go through this a little bit more. But they're told to be of good courage. Now, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. And those two go together. If you don't have good courage, if you don't have faith, you're not going to be strong. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. They're going to be there. Don't be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave nor forsake you. What did Jesus say? I'll never leave you or I'll never forsake you as you go through the different trials. He doesn't say you won't have trials. He doesn't say that at all. And Moses called Joshua and said to him in sight of all Israel, it's like a witness publicly. Now he's saying to Joshua in front of everybody, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Again, be strong is telling the leadership now as well. Be strong and of good courage. Why? Because there's going to be a lot of problems when you cross over. And you've got to have faith that I'll see you through. And so whatever we're facing, we need to focus on these things. Be strong and of good courage. Now, a commentary regarding the book of Numbers says this. Numbers, or the book of Numbers, is an account of people who were often discouraged and afraid in the face of hardship, and who rebelled against God and against Moses. It is the story of God's faithful, persistent care for His people in spite of their weaknesses and disobedience. Well, a lot of it's true for us today, isn't it? We're facing a trial. We know the Shamblins are facing a trial. We've had lots of other people. And there'll be more. There'll be other trials. That's not all bad news. But in the middle of the trials, we don't want to lose faith. We don't want to lose courage. God is with us. God will see us through. How do we know that? He's seen us through all through the other difficulties we've had over the years. He's always been there with us. But boy, when the arrows are flying and the flames are big and the earth is quaking, it was really great at Sabbath services, but here we are now. We're in the battle. I mean, bullets are flying. People are, getting injured and wounded in the battle, whatever you want to call it, if you follow the metaphor. He says, that's all right. It's all right. Be strong and of good courage. This is a true story. Just to kind of illustrate a little bit how God works. This fellow was not in the church, but later on God would call him. He was in Vietnam, and they were having a bad battle. I don't know if it was North Vietnamese or the Viet Cong. I don't know. But anyway, he was having a battle. They were having a battle. And it was at night. And in the midst of the battle, he pulled a pin on his grenade and released it. And then, you throw it. And when you release it, when you throw it. Well, it hit a branch on a limb and it bounced back at him and right at his feet. So he was counting 5 seconds of his life and it was going to be over. In the middle of the battle, he heard, lay down. Well, he didn't lay down. And pretty soon he heard the voice, I said, lay down. So he laid down, and the grenade went off right by his head, didn't hurt him, didn't pop, not a bit of shrapnel, didn't pop his eardrums, That got his attention. And so he started looking for God in those days, and eventually came into the church. But he says, pretty well fitting for him, he's a very hard-headed kind of guy. So he had to tell him, I told you, lay down. So in the middle of the battle, God told him what to do. God will show you in the middle of your battle. But we focus sometimes on in the middle. We see the battle around us and we're focusing on that instead of, well, wait a minute. God said, don't focus on that. Be of good faith. Be of good courage. I'll see you through this. He said, well, how do I know that? How many other battles has he seen us through? And you may not always say, okay, when the battle's over, you may say, well, I really didn't fight a perfect fight in the good fight. I made mistakes along the way. But still, God got me through it. And you, so you go with that from that experience base. From that experience base. Well, I'm going to go back now to Numbers 14. Go back to Numbers 14. Again, the Numbers is written not just so that we have a historical account, but so that we have examples upon whom the ends of the age has come. So we can learn from these people's experiences. Numbers 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up, just finishing what we just had been reading in the previous chapter here. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. The leadership, instead of showing courage, discouraged the whole group. And so here, you know, okay, the leadership says it's all bad. I guess it's all bad. And boy, we're in big trouble. So that's what happened. Word got around fast. Because you had leaders from each of the tribes go. They came back. People are anticipating, you know, I guess they thought it was just going to be a cakewalk. And then they went back and they talked to their people. Oh, it's all, everything's bad. So the people are just wailing and having a bad time here. Verse 2. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation and said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or only if we had died in the wilderness. Now, there's, remember the Bible reading program we had several years ago? I hope you have copies of that. This is page 12 of the June 2002. Okay? Page 12. Okay? June 2002, page 12. It talks about the Israelites that appeared. They're not doing this right now because this is an intense work to get all this study and type it all up. We don't have manpower right now. The Israelites, it appears, had come to a point where they could have immediately possessed the land of the promised land, but a lack of faith would keep them out of the land that flowed with milk and honey. That's a biblical term of saying it's an economic, cultural, wealthy place. And it would keep them out for several more decades, making their time in the wilderness a total of 40 years. Discouragement set in as a result of the evil report of the 10 faithless spies. And once again, the children of Israel speak against Moses and Aaron. They begin by wishing they had already died in Egypt or the wilderness rather than face the dangers in the land of Canaan. What's our equivalent? Well, we're church people. We love God. We're trying to obey God, trying to obey His commandments. And yet it seems like we're going through all the same problems that people in the world have. So what's the point of being in the church? I mean, that's when we're in our pits, when we've lost courage. What's the point? So, but we go through the same trials and tests that people in the world go through. But the point is, God is working with us with eternity in mind. He's preparing us. He's creating His character in us. We're going through things. And even for those who are not yet called, when God does call them, they'll take those lifetime examples and begin to apply it to help them to develop towards eternity. But now He's calling us. He says, so as you face whatever you're facing in your life, face it with courage, with faith, in other words, that God is here, He's going to fight this battle for me. I know the outcome will be we're going to be victorious, but I don't know what that victory is going to look like. I don't have to know. I just know it will come out. I know it will come out. But sometimes we get discouraged because we're going through the same things as so many people in the world, and we kind of, what's the point? I mean, you name the problem, we've got it in the church. Why? Because we're in the world. I mean, we function in this world. Sickness, trials, tests, whatever it may be, it's there. But God says, now, knowing what you know, apply what I've taught you, grow in faith, grow in commitment, trust me to see you through these difficulties. And that's the hard part when we're going through those things. But when you do, then you're able, did I turn this on? Okay. Get the mic. Halfway through and figured out I don't know how to have it on. See, it's a trial. I can't handle these speaking things. Okay, I quit. I'm going home. Okay. Anyway, I forget all this technical stuff. Anyway, where were we? So we're going through the same trials in the world, and we can get discouraged. And what's the point? Let's just go back to Egypt. Why go through the trials of being in the church, plus have to go through all the stuff you're going to go through in life anyway? Well, and some have just thrown their hands up and said, I'm done. What's the point? Well, that's what ancient Israel did. Wishing they had already died in the land of Egypt in the wilderness rather than face the, quote, dangers of the land of Canaan. But the complaining doesn't stop there. They accuse God of intentionally putting them and their families in harm's way to kill them. Isn't that amazing? Verse 3. Look at verse 3. Why has the Lord brought us to this land? Why has God called me anyway? I've got this and that ailment. I've got this and that trial in my life. I've got this or that, whatever it may be. Why? What's the point? God brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Boy, it rips up to that victim mentality because they don't have courage. They don't have faith now. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And again, people, when they face severe trials many times, they just say, I'm tired of it all. I'm just going to go back. What's the point? So when we see these things in the Scripture, we can apply them, I hope you see, in the way that I've been trying to apply them today. Now we're going to move down here to verse 4. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Wow. They were going to kill Moses on several occasions. They were going to stone him and just get rid of him and go back into slavery. Literally. I mean, it's just amazing. We can do that in our time too. And some sadly have. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly and the congregation of the children of Israel. They've learned enough. They're playing the role of intercessor. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, I think that's how you say it, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. That's the act of repentance and frustration. They're just ripping, these people, and they're ripping their clothes and wanting them to repent. And they're showing that repentant attitude. And they spoke, because they're breaking, they're tearing their agreement with Israel, with the God of Israel, if you will. That's what the people were doing, not Joshua and Caleb. And he spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. God has promised us the kingdom of God will be there. Keep the faith. Be courageous as you go through the difficulties that we face today. Keep the faith. That land, if you will, the kingdom of God, is a reality. And so we keep observing the Feast of Tabernacles to keep that in our minds. And the Lord does delight in us. We are His children. We've talked about that before. Verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord. In a sense, losing our faith can lead to rebellion. Nor fear the people who are in the other land, of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. It's an expression God has handed us into, given them into our hands. Verse 10. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. They're trying to encourage them, lift them up. So let's kill these two. They've lost their courage, hasn't it? They've lost their faith. They're always very weak, as we know. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. God has to intervene and protect these servants of God, or they're going to kill them. Because they have lost their focus, their faith. It's a sad thing. Verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And it says here in the margin, if you have it, how long will they despise me? Wow. That's an act of rebellion, to lose faith. Now, we all lose, we all fluctuate when we go through problems, but it can lead to this abject rebellion. How long will these people despise me, more properly say, and how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? You know, we're really inspired when we see healing, that God has healed somebody, and that's wonderful. We've had several healings here in our time here, the last 10 years or so. But also, it's a wonderful thing if somebody comes to repentance and they're converted. That's a much greater miracle. It's a much greater miracle. See? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, And I will make you a nation greater and mightier than they. He's ready to destroy Israel.
And I'll start over with you guys. Whoa, I wonder what the plan of God would be, kind of set back a little bit.
And he meant that. I've just had it with these meatheads, kind of put it in our terms. And they, verse 14, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people. I think I got it wrong here. Verse 13, and Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear that you have destroyed a whole nation except me and a few others. The Egyptians will hear, for by your might you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands before them, and you go before them in the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of the fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, I mean the whole bunch of them, then the nation which you have heard of your name, in the nations which have heard of your name, will speak saying, this is what they're going to be their response. Because the God was not able to bring his people to the land which he swore to them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. That will be how they'll testify about it.
Other nations say, you know, the God got him, of Israel got them out of Egypt, but he couldn't get them into their land. It's going to make God look bad. And God said, okay, well, at least Moses, you're thinking in those terms. And he didn't do it. But sometimes our examples can make God look bad, because we can lose faith and lose focus. So we need to try to keep that thing in mind too.
Verse 17. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant, and he's patient, in other words, and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the fourth, third, and fourth generations. And it's amazing, deep-seated problems in families, even though the people are converted, those problems usually take three generations or four generations to work free, to get free of it. And it just takes that long. Pardon the iniquity of this people, verse 19, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even till now. Just keep forgiving us. He's hoping that this example of him praying to God for the people of Israel will help restore faith in the people towards God. Just a lot of interesting things in there. We don't have time to cover all of it. So some 3,400 years later, it's interesting that God has promised these people they go, that eventually their descendants would go into Israel. Of course, they did. And then they were taken into captivity and so forth. You know, this on two huge occasions. And the temple was destroyed and rebuilt and then destroyed again. So it is interesting to see what all happened here. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 1. I want to encourage all of you not to get discouraged. I want to encourage you not to get discouraged when we go through the various trials. And again, because we are, even though we're spread out all over the countryside, when you hear someone's sick or someone's been in an accident or whatever it is, they're going through a personal trial, we take it hard. I mean, it's just the way it is. We take it hard, and I think that's good. But we can't lose faith. We can't lose our focus. Again, we want to help and encourage those who have gone through or are going through a trial. Encourage them and lift them up. You can't do that if you're down. You can't do that if you're down. Deuteronomy 1, verse 21. Look, the Lord your God has sent the land before you go up and possess it. The Lord your God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged. Again, God is he's reiterating here. Moses reiterated what we've already talked about. Don't be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and the cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of the men. This is repeating what we already said. One from each tribe. And they departed and went into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they were able to see the land from the mountains, and they went to various basic regions. So they become familiar with the layout of the land. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, you would not go in, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. And for us, I'm not talking about rebellion. I think we're talking about don't get discouraged. No, I don't think our problem is rebellion. Don't get discouraged. And you complained, verse 27, in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us. You know, if this is the church or I'm in the church, why am I going through these trials? Because God allows these things to happen to us because He's preparing us for eternity. He's also allowing us to go through this trial. There's a song, I don't remember the name of it now, to remind us this isn't our home, if you will. This isn't our world. Anybody know what song I'm talking about? This is not our home, I think it's called. Is that the name of it, Lisa? What is the name of it? The name of it is, I don't remember. Okay, well, anyway, that's how the song goes. You know, all these problems I go through in life reminds me this isn't my home. In other words, this isn't our world. This isn't our age. But we're strangers and sojourners in it. And we're in the desert of the age. And there's difficult times we go through. Keep your focus on the kingdom. The promise is there for us. Don't get your focus off that. Don't lose courage in the face of these difficulties. Where was I here? Plan pleased well, nevertheless, you would not go in. Okay, verse 28. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people are greater than taller than we are. The cities are great and fortified. They've been to Chicago or New York. Up to heaven. Moreover, they have seen the sons of Anakim there, the giants. And then I said, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he'll fight for you and according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. We have all of this example before us. That God sees us through the battles. Don't get discouraged when we have these battles. And don't be dismayed when the battles come. God says they will come. But he says, I'll fight them for you. Deuteronomy 2, verse 14. Deuteronomy 2, verse 14. The time came to come. Let me try again. And the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea, it's way down south, not far from Egypt, actually, until we cross over the valley of Zered, there's a lot of rivers in that area, was 38 years until all the generation of the men of war was wasted or consumed. They grew old and they died. They grew old and they died. God wouldn't allow them to go over because of the lack of faith. Their lack of faith. So we can see, I hope, a lot of parallels here for us as we go through a trial. Don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus. These things can help us to grow. But we have to have a different spirit to us, if you will. Let's go to Joshua 1. Joshua 1, right after Deuteronomy. The same message. Remember, God inspired Moses to publicly tell the people, plus that he told Joshua publicly as well, not to lose courage. Don't do what the previous generation had done. Again, you don't lose courage because when you cross over, it's going to be difficult. Going into the promised land wasn't a cakewalk. There would be difficulties of all kinds. Joshua 1 and verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as the inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Do this. Go on over and be of good courage. How many times it comes up? Only be strong and very courageous. What that means, there's going to be difficulty, see? Then it says here that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or from the left, that you may prosper where you go.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you shall observe to do according to all that is written. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Have I not commanded you? See, it's a command. Be strong and good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Whether it's at a hospital, whether it's at work, whether it's in a troubled home, whether it's in whatever it is, whatever you're going through, I've commanded you, be of good courage. I will be with you wherever you go. Remember, Jesus says, I'll be with you to the ends of the age. Using that same theme. As we go through these difficult times, be strong and of good courage. Let's see how that looks in the New Testament. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And I'm going to read here verse 33. Probably knew I was going to go there. Let me just start in verse 30. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Just this week alone, this week alone, about 300,000 people lost their jobs in 1 week. And He's saying to us, be very careful. Trust me through this time. Trust me through this time. Don't focus on that. People are losing, a lot of people are losing their jobs right now. Especially just the last 10 days. So a lot of realities are coming home to folks about the economy. But He says, okay, in the midst of that, you're in the midst of that. God will see you through it. Don't fear when the battle starts, the fire and the arrows come. Shield of faith, helmet of salvation, see? All of these things, they have really meaning for us. Therefore, do not worry about saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Boy, I tell you, it's difficult when the bank's empty, bank account's empty. And you read that verse, say, okay. But I'm telling you, the grenade is right here by my head, and it's about to go off. And you're telling me, sit still. Watch me work. But seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. See, the goal, seek the kingdom of God in the midst of all these things. Don't get distracted. And His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient today is its own trouble. We don't worry about what's coming tomorrow, what the battle will be tomorrow. Today, keep your courage, keep your faith, keep your focus. Romans 15, let's conclude here. Romans 15. Don't get discouraged. Realize we're in a battle. But in the battle, we've already been given the victory. Romans 15. I'm going to start in verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples or the weaknesses. That's really what it means, literally, weaknesses of the weak. And do not please ourselves. Be patient. All of us are not in the same thing. And some, there's some things I know in my life, a certain trial come along. I can handle that one. God's with me. I know, I'm with that, and God's with me, and He's going to take care of that. And another thing, anybody like that? Because maybe you're really good at, can I draw the analogy? You're really good at throwing a grenade. And so when the battle calls for a grenade, spiritually speaking, you know how to do that. But when it calls for long range, he needs to be not sniper. Anyway. When it calls, when you got to shoot from a long distance away, the target's a long way away, and you're not very good at it. And you kind of go, God says, just calm down, Settle in there. I don't know why they do that, but they look the end of the right. I don't know what. Anyway, you do that because I saw it on TV. Settle down and pull the trigger. Do it right. And you may get a miss a few times, but you'll learn to do that long distance shooting. I hope you follow the example. So one thing God has taught you to handle that part of a battle, but another time you've got to learn. But you're going to go through these difficulties. And you can watch others go through it and learn from their experience. And that helps you. But when it comes to you, it's a whole new bag of worms, isn't it? It's another whole new thing. But let's read here. So something beeped over here. I guess it says, be still and know that I'm God. And it's something in the speaker. Okay. No. Verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, lending to edification. You know, do those things that help build up others. Even Christ did not please himself, but is written, the reproaches of those who reproach me fell upon me. Have a sacrificial attitude that you're willing to pay a price for the betterment of others. That's part of having that faith. You're willing to pay the price to do those extra little things that help to serve somebody else in a quiet and unassuming way. That's just one way of doing that here. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. That's why we spent time in Numbers and Deuteronomy and other places. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The patience and the comfort of Scripture might have hope. That's why we've been going through this. I hope that you'll find comfort through the Scripture. Knowing, there's battles, but God has already said, you've won. Just keep the faith. You're in the promised land, if you will, follow the analogy. Don't look at the giants. Don't look at the fortified cities. Keep your eye on God. He will see you through these various battles. Don't lose your focus. Look for the comfort that comes. And I just love that phrase. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded. Verse 4. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And the word patience is perseverance. Remember, perseverance builds character and so forth. We persevere by keeping our focus on the Scripture. So I hope as we go through our personal and collective trials, don't lose focus. Don't lose courage. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on the promises He's given us. The kingdom of God is coming. Seek first that. And as we go through our difficulties, we already know God has already given me the victory in the battle. I just need to keep my focus and let Him fight it for me. Let me live in faith as we go through these difficulties. And He will see us through these things. Keep your focus and be comforted in these truths. Let's encourage one another with these words as we go through our trials in life. And let's keep that focus. Thank you.